Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to the Grey Leopard Code with Gary Norris Gray. Gary will be coming to you each Saturday, 4 p.m. Eastern Standard Time, talking sports live on GLC.
Taught when you were young, if you mess with things selfishly, the bound to come undone. I'm not the only one that's been affected and resented every story of fun, and I'm a lucky one, 'cause there are people worse off that have suffered enough. Haven't they suffered enough? But you can't get enough of shutting down systems for personal gain, fighting fires with liars and praying for rain. Do you get up on pain? We're not pawns in your game, Commander-in-Chief, honestly. If I did the things you do, I couldn't sleep, seriously. Do you even know the truth? We're in a state of crisis. People are dying while you line your pockets deep. Commander-in-Chief, how does it feel to still be able to breathe? We were taught when we were young, if we fight for what's right, there won't be justice for just some. Won't give up, stand our ground. We'll be in the streets while you're bunkering down. Proud, best believe we'll still take a knee while you're Commander-in-Chief, honestly. If I did the things you do, I couldn't sleep, seriously. Do you even know the truth? We're in a state of crisis, people are dying while you line your pockets deep. Commander-in-Chief, how does it feel to still be able to breathe? While you're bunkering down, won't give up, stand our ground. We'll be in the streets for your Commander-in-Chief, honestly. If I did the things you do, I couldn't sleep, seriously. Do you even know the truth? We're in a state of crisis, people are dying while you line your pockets deep. Commander-in-Chief, how does it feel?
Okay, that was great. We're going to get right down to business. This morning, I'm laying in bed, and I'm thinking this world, this United States, is messed up. Messed up on a number of occasions. Number one, we got President of the United States under arrest or indicted. We have people carrying AR-13, 17, 47, whatever you want to call them. And then you have people who just don't get it. We are one race, the human race. I mean, I don't get it. This week, WEEI Boston Sports Radio shows did it again. On the Greg Hill Morning Show, and you drive to work in the morning, talk radio, you talk about the sale of alcohol in little bottles. Name of the bottle is called, a nickname called Nips, which is a slur name for Japanese people of heritage. Now, Chris Ernest was a producer of the show, trying in the background. Well, I'd probably go after Mina Kimes. Mina Kimes is Korean-American, who does a great job on the NFL, ESPN NFL broadcast. Didn't matter. Doesn't matter. Typical Boston. Not knowing the difference between Korean, Japanese, Chinese. They know no idea. And the other news agency that is calling Curtis, the tone changed. And he stated that he misspoke. He meant Melina Kuhn, not Kimes. But the damage is already done. Curtis is better for a week. He'll be back at WEEI Boston next week. And he will continue to do his BS as he usually does. I'm saying, sorry, not enough. I'm saying he should be fired. I'm saying this is the only way to stop this nonsense. Once again, it goes deeper than that. When you attack Lewis Hamilton, when you attack Tiger Woods, when you attack Serena Williams, this is what you're doing. Last night, the University of that guy, Gamecock, was in a battle against the Iowa Hawkeyes. Iowa Hawkeyes have one of the best players on the planet. They scored 41 points. Iowa wins the game 77-74. But there was background chatter before, during, and after the game about how that guy played rough, gangster. Gangster players. You don't say that when UConn, when you didn't say that. You didn't say that when Tennessee was winning. Didn't say that. Here we are with a team led by the ghost. I'm not. Okay, what? I need to bring up a point.
Other coaches, your colleagues, have sitting in that spot and talked about you all being bullies. What's the truth about your team?
The truth about our team, okay? It's a good question, okay? We're not bar fighters. We're not thugs. We're not monkeys. We're not street fighters. This team exemplifies how you need to approach basketball on the court and off the court. And I do think that that's sometimes brought into the game, and it hurts, okay? And I do think that some of, and I'm going to say it because I said I was going to say it, whether we lost or whether we won. Some of the people in the media, when you're gathering in public, you're saying things about our team, and you're being heard, and it's being brought back to me, okay? And these are the people that write nationally for our sport. So you can not like our team, okay? You cannot like me. But when you say things that you probably should be saying in your home on the phone or texting out in public and you're being heard, and you are a national writer for our sport, it just confirms what we already know. So watch what you say when you're in public and you're talking about my team in particular. Just watch what you say about our team, because it's wrong. You got young lives who are really, if you really knew them, like you really want to know other players that represent this game, you would think differently. So don't judge us by the color of our skin, okay? Judge us by how we approach the game. And you may not like how we play the game, you may not like it. That's the way we play. That's the way I coach. Not changing. We found success in it. And maybe some days, like today, we end up on the losing side of the stick. But guess what? We live to see another day. We live to see the comeback next year and try to do this again. Because I'm not changing. I'm not changing. But I hear you. I hear you. I hear you. Because I do have friends in the media, whether you believe it or not. I do have some friends in the media. So for those of you who are at whatever event you were at that was nearby this arena yesterday, you were heard. You were overheard talking about our team. So,
Coach, we're going to take...
You don't talk about your REM like that. You know, national news media, let it go. Back in the day, you got Husky, I couldn't stand them. But they were a good team. They won, and nobody said a word. They played rough, nobody said a word. Let black girls do that. And see, this is the thing of America, America, America. America better get its race thing together. We cannot live in a country that keeps continuing doing this. Can't do it. WEEI, Boston, you have no explaining to do. And some of y'all do it without it, well. Some of y'all do it while you know you're doing it. Because you've been doing it for so long. And it's already accepted. and you don't care. That's the button. That's the button. I don't know about other guys. I'm tired of doing this. That was a good game last night. There were a few weird calls. And Iowa won the game. Okay, let it go. But no, you gotta dig in some more. See, sports was the only freedom, free access, freedom African Americans had. You're trying to close this down too. Trying to shut this down too, because we're getting better at it. You know what? Serena Williams to get the record? Now she's too old. You know what? Tiger Woods to get the record? And now he has one leg. You know what? Lewis Hamilton to break Schumacher's record? So you change the cars. Basketball, one call changes the whole game. This adds the Sacramento Kings 2002-2003. What happened to the Kings? Never should happen to anybody in the NBA, but it did. Why? Because the NBA was the LA Lakers, not the Sacramento Kings, in the playoffs. 17 years later, the Kings finally get to the playoffs. You ought to be saying to yourselves, money is killing y'all. You're waiting for a disaster. It's coming. It's coming. You have a guy that won't take responsibility for his actions. He blames others. And you have Bowers. Bowers is behind. My fellow Americans, I bet you all forgot one thing. Let me play this.
30 years ago was 1993. It was a long time ago. Media was very, very different. This was before even the OJ trial, which would change everything. But in 1993, there was a standoff in East Texas in Waco between the Branch Davidians, led by a man named David Koresh, who claimed that he had the right to have sex with 12-year-old girls and claimed that he was God, and federal authorities. When the ATF came to serve a search warrant at their compound, 4 ATF agents were murdered. It started a 51-day standoff, and it had a fiery and tragic end. 76 people were killed, and fires likely lighted by the Branch Davidians themselves. That's why Donald Trump went there, because Waco is a place where the far right, conspiracy theorists, extremists, and anti-government militias come to congregate and to celebrate what happened there. In their mind, the standoff was heroic. Donald Trump came to Waco for a singular reason. What better place than to stoke violence against the government than in Waco, Texas, the home of David Koresh and the Branch Davidians? The coverage of the event has been remarkable, but the best is in the British newspaper, The Guardian. Let me read from its astounding headline, that accurately describes what occurred in Waco, Texas. Trump describes 2024 election as the, quote, final battle from podium in Waco. Former president honors January 6th rioters and delivers violent rhetoric and rally at Texas City during anniversary of Branch Davidian massacre. Donald Trump came to Waco for a singular reason, to preach a gospel of political violence. He knows what the place means. He knows that it is an epicenter of conspiracy theories and extremist ideologists who come there to worship the defiant stand of cult members against a lawful search warrant served by federal agents who they murdered. Waco ended in tragedy 30 years ago. More than 80 people burned to death. They burned to death not because of the federal government, but because of the cult leader who sentenced them to death inside. That's who Donald Trump went to venerate. That's who Donald Trump went to honor yesterday in his attempt to divide the country as he sets about on a re-election campaign. And if the truth is told, even though I believe Donald Trump is finished, at this moment in time, looking at the polls, he is the front runner. How could that possibly be? How could a man who incited insurrection, who lied 30,000 times, and who now openly preaches violence, division, and civil war, how could he be the leading candidate for the Republican nominee for president? What could possibly millions of people see in this decrepit man who wants murder and mayhem as his vision for the future? Whatever it may be, it should be taken seriously, because Donald Trump's words are becoming more dangerous and more extreme by the hour. He is filled with rage. He has vengeance in his heart, and he wants to make people pay. He's been perfectly clear about that. What happened yesterday? How should we think about it? The way to think about it is that a fuse was lit. Even though there was no explosion yesterday, the fuse burned, and it burned closer to the place where blood will flow. Donald Trump's a con, the greatest con man in history. He stiffed every regular working person that he was ever in business with. And look how much damage he's done to the country. Yet, in our poisonous era, millions and millions and millions of Americans look at Donald Trump and they buy into his grievance and they buy into his anger. They want to fight someone. They want to feel better than someone. And so they listen to Donald Trump and move closer to the abyss. Nothing happened yesterday, but it will, when a man who is already killed with words implies more killing and makes more intimations towards violence. There should be little doubt that in this country of 300 million guns, someone somewhere out there right now is preparing to act to save their country, radicalized by this vilest of men. When you have a person who is a former president of the United States constantly preaching violence, constantly calling for the country to be torn down, constantly insinuating that the government is illegitimate, constantly calling for people to stand up and take action, celebrating the criminals who shat and urinated on the floors in the chambers of the United States Senate and House of Representatives, lionizing them as patriots, tragedy is bound to happen. What day, what hour, when it will come, we don't know, just that it will. Everything that Donald Trump has done and said has led to the disaster facing the country at this hour in this decisive moment of crisis. His previous violence was predictable, and it was predictable from a long way out. When you refuse to concede an election, when your position is it's only legitimate if my side wins, what that means is that you've walked away from the central tenets of democracy, from liberty. It means you've chosen thuggery. It's not surprising that a single man would fall into that temptation, but that he's taken along an entire political party of elected officials with him is rather astounding. And that's the Republican problem in this moment of time, because there could be no compromise on that matter. There is no compromise with the person who says, it's my way or the highway. There's no compromise with the person who says, I'm in power or else. Donald Trump has walked away from the central tenets of American democracy. And we don't talk about that directly and clearly in this country for some reason. But we better start, because the man who is leading the Republican nomination has made very clear he's not running to make this country stronger, more powerful, or more just. He's running for revenge, for vengeance, and payback. And that should scare every American. It certainly scares me.
Running for vengeance. Running, I told my friend that I have power and control, and this guy is a gleaming object of this. Power and control. Who are his heroes? Kim Jong-un is his hero. Vladimir Putin is his hero. What do you do in America? And I can remember President Johnson. President Johnson said, if you make a poor white guy believe he's better than any black guy, he's a happy camper. This is what Donald J. Trump has done. This is why he has a following. Donald J. Trump must be stopped. We didn't do a good job in 2016. We better do a good job in 2024. Thank you for listening. Take a break. We'll go into sports at this break. Okay. Draw daily. can say it more clearly. God said he had a way better than Satan. Even though our team lost, I'm proud because he stood up for our girls. My brother, because he said exactly what needed to be said. We got California, Reggie House.
Big G, how you doing, my friend?
Okay, not too happy about that night, but it's okay.
Yeah, I'm a little still trying to recover from that South Carolina and Iowa game last night and Virginia Tech and LSU. I mean, we can question some of the officiating, but Don Staley got out coached. I know people don't want to hear it, but it's the truth. She got out coached.
Let me finish.
For all that size she had and experience, you can let that person shoot. Okay, fine. But you had too much height, you had too much bulk to keep going inside, and they had no answer for the inside game. I don't know if the girls was reading their press clippings. I don't know if they didn't respect our. Now, give our credit. Their coaches came out with a good strategy, and they couldn't stop Larry Bird Jr. from shooting the rock. Go ahead, guys.
Yeah. Okay, now, you have 2 minutes to go, 2 minutes into the game. They call 3 fouls on their front court in 2 minutes. All right, what do you do after you call 3 fouls on your front court? Again, the little subtle thing that go on that if you call a foul and you got 2 fouls the first half, you got four girls out of the game. It changes the whole context of the game.
Mm-hmm.
Because now you have to change your and he has changed her offense because of 2 fouls. It was no accident. After 2 fouls, Iowa got the lead back, didn't they? And this is what people don't see.
Well, as I said before, Gary, you know, sometimes it's just not in the cards, you know, and I really feel bad for Coach. I feel bad for Coach Don Staley because, you know, those girls, they just did not understand that you getting everybody's best shot. And when I saw last night, it wasn't the same South Carolina team I've seen all year round. And I was so disappointed.
All day shooting. Very all day shooting. And when you have all day shooting, this is where coaching comes in.
Bad
day shooting. You change the offense so you get easier shots.
Yeah, that's it. And I understand. The big girl had 2 fouls on her, but Maryland punched him in the mouth and threw him off their game, and the second team came in there and knew how to respond. These girls, I don't know if the moment was just too big. Yeah, the bench didn't respond. But you got to give our coaching staff credit for turning South Carolina over and getting them out of their offensive rhythm. They settled for jump shot three. But they should have been working the inside game.
I'm going to make this very clear. I am not happy with the national media. I am pissed off with the media right now. Because when Dino Auriemma did his act in Yukon. University of Connecticut, up in Connecticut. They didn't say boo. They didn't say a word.
Yeah.
When Don Terry and his girls playing rubber stuff,
mm-hmm.
they would call them animals. They would call them
mm-hmm.
gangsters.
Yeah,
wait a minute.
That's true.
You didn't call UConn gangsters?
Of course not.
And they, I'm tired of this because they keep doing it.
Yeah, well, they need to be called out because I give a perfect example of Mel Kiper and one of the other guys today were talking about some of the black quarterbacks, and the guy jumped, Mel Kiper jumped on the guy because he was giving the quarterback from Florida a hard way to go. He said, "What is your problem?" He said, "Well, this is the same Mel Kiper that used to give low grades on black quarterbacks like Russell Wilson and others back in the day." So maybe he's starting to understand that people are starting to scrutinize him for some of the remarks he's making. He's trying to make amends to it.
Well, I'm just very proud of Dawes standing up
yeah.
for our girls last night.
Yeah.
They got beat. Yeah, trying to get tomorrow morning. Okay, that's okay, right?
I'd like to see it come back next year.
They need to lose Hamilton in Formula One.
Yeah.
They did the same thing to Serena Williams in tennis.
Uh-huh.
They did the same thing to Tiger Woods in golf. See, whenever black exit rises up,
and
agree with the club. They can't do that.
Yeah, I agree.
That's why it will not give HBCUs higher than 14 feet. They know.
I got to kind of stop you there, Gary, because that's one thing me and you kind of disagree with. HBCUs don't put the money into sports like they should, and that's why they can't get the athletes.
I'm talking about on the floor, and they give HBCUs a chance, it would beat the hell out of the team.
Well, again, Gary, I'll do respect. I got to disagree with you, Gary. When you don't have the facilities there, when you go through things that don't have nothing to do with sports, we have subpar living conditions when the money is being funny, like when Deion Sanders folks
yeah.
got a percent of the money, and they had a compact. I mean, every home game has 50,000+. You have a game where you say you only got 25,000 ticket sales. Come on.
I'm gonna tell you about Deion Sanders.
Let me tell you this, Gary, the president of Jackson State is on administrative leave now.
I don't know what he did,
but see, this is the kind of BS that goes on.
Okay,
that hurts
right. Let me tell you what happened out here in the West Coast. Deion Sanders is going to Colorado, right?
Mm-hmm.
Colorado has never had, they had a preseason game 2 weeks ago.
Mm-hmm.
In the last 8 years, the University of Colorado could not get fleas into the game.
Mm-hmm.
So that 2 weeks ago, they had standing room only in that Colorado Buffalo Stadium. Guess what? The spring game in April and May. The spring game in May. It already sold out.
Yeah, well, I mean, Deion is definitely a salesman. And he's bringing the show to the new school.
If Colorado loses, Deion is gone.
No, I disagree with you, Gary, because they're going to at least give them 2 to 3 years to build a program up.
Okay.
You know, I got to disagree with you on that. You know, they're going to at least give him 2 or 3 years because, number one, he won't have the inside offensive defensive line that the big boys have. He's going to have to take a time to recruit that. Once you get the interior line of the big boys, you got a chance to compete. And we ain't saying that's your championship. Just compete
three,
for the Pac-12.
The last 3 or 4 years, the Colorado Buffaloes are the last place in every department, every single department.
Yeah, well, who fault is that? I mean, come on. It's the reason why Deion's the new coach there. You know, and alumni, I guarantee you, the alumni boosters are starting to step up and get money now compared to where they weren't before. You know, so it's all about the school. The school come out, and more players now are starting to look at Colorado because of the Deion factor. You know, people say they want to say, hey, you got to at least give them 2 or 3 years. His first year at Jackson State wasn't successful. He lost 3 or 4 games to Jackson State. They didn't win the championship. But his second full year, when he got his players in there, you saw a significant change. He went undefeated back-to-back years in the SWAC. He just got beat the Celebration Bowl every time. And let's not forget, he had a health issue where Deion was on the on critical list, but he almost lost his life when he got his toes cut off.
Yeah, injury.
But see, everybody talking all this smack about what Deion's doing, but they don't know nothing about his health injury, but yet, you know, they're supposed to be so much in the know, but yet they don't know about the health injury he's going through.
I was Deion all the way in Colorado. I don't think that's well in Colorado. What pisses me off about this is that when Deion was with Jackson State, everybody was throwing tomatoes at him. And Jackson State won the swag. Like, what do you want this guy to do?
Well, again, Gary, this is HBCUs. That's why I mean you butt heads. You always say you want HBCU to do things, but you can't give a man a stick to beat you with. Every time when something goes down with our HBCUs, the trail goes back to some ignorant stuff that they're pulling. I mean, there's a reason why North Carolina A&T is not in the MEAC no more. It's a reason why Hampshire's not in the MEAC no more. You know, it's a reason why you got Tennessee State not in the SWAC no more. You know, a lot of these HBCU schools are moving on.
They
get the TV money. Yeah, well, again, if people are not so worried about spending money and doing administrative costs, where the money should be going back into the schools and uplifting the buildings and uplifting the student body, do you realize when Michael Vick played at North Carolina, played at Virginia Tech, the 4 years he was there playing, and Roman went up 13%. Every time the sporting department got money, they built up the program where they started building new science buildings and new buildings for the school.
Yeah.
So, again, all that's through athletics. But you will have some Negro preachers and some Negro presidents of the schools will be so outraged because homecoming, there's more pictures of the football program than there's the president of the school. That's the kind of bullshit that goes on.
Yeah.
And I've seen presidents so upset because they don't have more pictures of them out there. They got, when they have football games at home, you look at some of those president box, they have chandeliers. They have a spread set out as fit for a king. But yet some of the students out there can't get no damn money to pay for their books. Man, please don't get me started with shit I know personally that happened at HBCUs.
I understand.
That's
because
what I said. You can't get a man to stick to beat you with.
Missouri Valley Conference has three strong teams in basketball. Guess where they're at now? Okay.
Where they at?
Creighton is going to the Middle East.
Yeah.
Retarde is going to Conference USA.
Yeah.
And Louisville is going for century. So I know exactly what you're talking about.
Yeah. See, this is the kind of BS that goes down and people wonder why people get so upset, you know, because of them not only mistreating the funds, but mistreating the student body. And a lot of people, when they graduate from the HBCUs, they refuse to come back and get money back because of the way they've been mistreated.
Yeah.
You know.
Well, if I had my choice, I would go out to either Grambling or Southern. If I wanted to go, I could go.
I understand. I understand.
That's where
you
I
want
to go.
God bless you.
Grambling or Southern.
Yeah.
At that time, I had days. I had no wheelchair access, so I had to go to the university.
Well, see, that's the thing again. There's no excuse for them not to have some kind of wheelchair assessment. There's no excuse for that. They should have been there.
That's like
50 years later. Yeah, but still, there's no excuse in that. You know, how many students like yourself have they lost, you know, because of their inability to have just the basic facility for handicapped? You know,
A lot of disabled black students have very limited, even today have very limited choices.
Mm-hmm.
I want people to understand this.
Yes, sir.
For every black disabled graduate, 1 out of 10, and repeat that again, 1 out of 10 graduate college.
That's inexcusable. All
right. So we got to work on that.
Yep. Hey, G, let me hit your phone.
There's only two black males at the University of California.
I got another call coming in. Let me hit you. I'm going to hit you back.
Okay. No excuse, they ain't doing no excuse for that. I have one or two black men disabled at the University of California, Berkeley. This is all over the country this happened. No excuse. I want to go back and take a break. Come back, take a break after this.
Let me hear you cry now. 96 years. I want to hear you cry.
1916, question mark and the Mysterians. 1965, the first Latino Filipino group in America. Question mark and the Mysterians. Alright, news of Friday Night Lights last night. If you went to bed early, congratulations to the Lady Tigers of LSU. They defeat Wildcat and advance the championship. They'll be on tomorrow. The LSU Tigers will take on the Iowa Hawkeyes. And Ms. Clark breaks the record for 41 points. They defeat South Carolina 77-74 last night. Later on today, Florida Atlantic University, the first time ever in the Final Four, will play San Diego State University. Miami, later on tonight, Miami will play UConn, the men's version. I expect it to be a great first game. I think San Diego's going to run away with this over Florida. And if they have to stop the center, the 7-foot center. And San Diego does that, they will win the game. Later on, Miami and UConn. I don't think Miami can handle UConn. I think UConn's going to run them off the floor because they're athletes. Hurricane against the Huskies and the Owls against the Aztecs. Last night in the NBA, Brunson scored 48 points as they defeat the Cleveland Cavaliers 131-16, and the New York Knicks will be missing Randall for at least 2 more weeks. Randall, with a high sprain ankle injury, will be out 2 weeks. Boston beat Utah last night, 122-114, as Mr. Tatum gets 39 points. Bane, having the Memphis Grizzlies over the LA Clippers, and the Clippers are going backwards again. And Memphis wins 108-94. Anthony Davis and the LA Lakers keep their playoff hopes alive. They 123-111 victory over Minnesota. The Golden State Warriors, and this team I cannot figure them out. The Golden State Warriors win again. They had a first half rough time. In the first half, but second half, they come through with Curry and Thompson scoring 20 points each. And the interesting is Gary Payton II. Gary Payton II changed the whole dynamics of this team and puts them back on the defensive track where they were last year. We will see. Up north in Sacramento, DeBose, Fox, Murray, and Monk scored 20 each. As Sacramento Kings buried the Portland Trailblazers 138-114. And the only one thing about Sacramento, which is it could be a killer, is these guys do not play defense. Sacramento is a very good offensive team, but they can't stop anybody. Last night, in Phoenix, govern. And that's why I believe. We got to introduce it correctly. Here we go. Second, Matt was able to give a turn, get the pole position. Victory in the third practice. Esteban Alcorn takes third place. Hamilton is in eighth place on the grid tomorrow morning. It'll be tomorrow morning, Sunday morning, at the Australian Grand Prix. All right, here you go. That's Friday Night Lights. We'll take a break, come back with news of the week. Southern soul music. All right. Get back to news of the week. Temple University President Jason Wingard resigned as the first black president of Temple University. He resigned because the neighborhoods were not safe for the kids. He resigned because he had no control over. And the parents of these kids did not want to go to Temple University. The same thing happening at the University of Southern California, L.A. The surrounding neighborhood gave to dangerous for young to 18, 19, 20 years old. I feel sorry for this president because he had no choice but to resign. News of the week, Monday, Lamar Jackson, Baltimore Ravens, are on different pages. Lamar Jackson wants the market value of his playing on the Baltimore Ravens quarterback. I believe Lamar Jackson will not be a Baltimore Raven. At the start of this 2023 football season. I also believe the National Football League is in collusion to try to get Jackson to sell for a lower price. This week, you may be seeing the last of the Bay Bridge series as the A's continue to try to go to Las Vegas once again. Mayor Hockey High School All-Stars will be going to Minnesota this weekend as the Golden State All-Stars will play the USA All-Stars in Minnesota on the ice. This week, our high school all-stars, congratulations and good luck in Minnesota this week. Tuesday, Maryland players complain about shotgun, and then go right back to Todd Taylor again. And Merlin complained about the way that guy Gage got to play. Nobody had a problem with them last year. Obviously they had a problem with them this year. University of Texas, Ronnie Derry, would stay at Texas as he gets a new contract. Antonio guard Kaleem Love of Central Florida, the Central Florida, he goes down to Chapel Hill. He will be putting on a new uniform next year. Good luck for Kaleem Love. Now, another issue here, the Orlando Police Department and Bradley Beal. Bradley Beal allegedly knocked off a man's baseball cap. No charges were ever filed. But the fan yelled at Beal, "You cost me the money." Now, this is what Betty is really getting into fans. And we got a problem here sooner or later. The Toronto Raptors center, Ogier, also stated a man yelled at him,
Good morning.
Good morning. Good morning. I see the best run the game right now.
They're gonna lose some more. That's the nature of the season. Even if you win 100, you're gonna lose 60 of them. So,
I know.
I don't worry so much about the losses. I mean, I don't worry about the wins, but you know, if it is, hey, wait, you know, let's get through the first month without nobody getting hurt. Or more people getting hurt, should I say? And just to piggyback on what you were alluding to, now did you hear about the incident with Anthony Rendon in Oakland?
Oh, what happened there?
I guess he was coming off the field and allegedly, and again, it depends on what you're hearing. Like, I guess guy either cursed at one and he grabbed the kid, and I guess he called. I guess Rendon is claiming that he called him a bitch, and the guy said no I didn't, and then he just sort of walks away. I guess Major League Baseball is investigating it, but again, this, you know, it's funny because back in the day when he was still a legit journalist, Howard Cosell used to always talk about the biggest scourge in professional sports is fan violence. Now, it's always been, and now it's always been sort of poo-pooed over the years. And you know, there was a guy in D.C. who was hail-heralded as the world's most greatest heckler back in the day, and all this other stuff. But you know,
a guy in Baltimore.
That's the guy I'm talking
about.
That's the guy I'm talking about. Okay. Yeah, we go to Wizards. He was okay. We go to then Bullets, now Wizard games. And here's the funny thing about it. The guy was a lawyer in real life.
Oh boy.
Exactly. But you know, especially now when you throw in the betting thing and the climate that we're in, you know, we got to remember the guy in Orlando, he spit at Beal, which reciprocated everything. But and see, again, it's going to take somebody, you know, it's going to take somebody getting killed, whether it be a fan or a player, for them to do it. It needs to be nipped in the bud now. I would always, now, two movies to me that sort of depicts what the climate has been and what it still is. The original Gambler with James Caan. I would recommend anybody to watch that movie. Not the Marky Mark version. Marky Mark version to me is trash. I would give me the original James Caan one, and then also The Fan with Robert De Niro and Wesley Snipes. Now, a lot of people said a lot of the things were sort of taken over the top, and rightfully so. But it's the same sort of mentality. It's the same sort of climate where there are folks that you know feel entitled, it's beyond entitled, and now you throw in the gambling aspect. These guys actually think that the whole slogan back in the day when fantasy sports started was that you get to own your own team in a sense, and unfortunately you've got some guys and gals that actually buy into that and think that they own these guys, and when they don't do what they're supposed to do in their eyes, they feel emboldened to do this, to do things like this. And these are just the incidents that we know of. I'm sure that there are other ones that have been put under the rug or haven't seen, whatever, but it behooves a lot of these leagues, especially the NBA, because the NBA was very, Silver was very gung-ho on the whole betting aspect in regards to, you know, remember they still have their summer league in Vegas. So, you know, they need to be, you know, everybody looks at the payoffs. But it's the whole, you got to look at the whole picture here. I mean, yeah. Put it this way, the horse is out the barn door. You're never going to ban gambling now that you've basically opened up Pandora's box, and then the box that was in Pandora's box as well. So it's not going away anytime soon, but you need to make it so that so that players don't have to keep dealing with this kind of mess.
Tony, what did you think about the game last night? With
Zaga
and Iowa.
I was kind of surprised they didn't try and double team Clark. That was
But
give her credit. I mean, she was hitting shots all over the place last night. I mean, those pull ups and what. But see, they never made her uncomfortable. Now, a lot of that is just her ability, but a lot of that also was that, you know, they were doing one on one. And my thinking in the times that I've seen Iowa is that if you sort of stop her and you force the other four folks to, not that the four other folks aren't good players, but you make it so that she doesn't beat you. And, you know, it didn't help.
Iowa played before, and one thing I know is that the center, Iowa center.
Uh-huh.
That was the key. If they got her out of rhythm, because I think the center was the key to Clark, because they worked so well together.
Well, they pretty much made her a non-factor, but the fact that Boston and other folks with South Carolina were in foul trouble, especially Boston, because Boston would have taken away a lot of those. But see, the thing about Clark, Clark wasn't just shooting; she was driving to the hoop, uncontested.
Yes, he was.
You know, if nothing else, just to sort of be like, you know, let her, you know, make her think about, you know, but see, I have to admit, at least in the second half, it seemed like when she was driving, it opened up like the freaking Red Sea, you know, literally and figuratively. Look, give her credit. She's a tremendous ball player. I don't think you can take anything away from what she was able to do. I do think that, you know, when Boston got into foul trouble, I don't want to say they panicked, but they didn't, you know, and they even said it themselves, they didn't play like themselves last night. Now, you have to give Iowa credit, at least you have to give Iowa partially credit for that. But, I wouldn't have let her roam so easily, at least especially in the paint. I mean, even if it was just a courtesy, you know, putting a body on her when she's, you know, just to send a message.
Right.
And it's funny because they've been accused of being a dirty team over the years.
That's what I saw happening in the second half. I was thinking, okay, here's reputation. Here we go, reputation.
Yeah. Well, the thing was, if you take Boston, you know, Boston wasn't a factor offensively last night. I mean, she had her moments, but when she got those early fouls, they really, you know, it took Carolina out of their game. But it's funny. And I don't know if you saw the clip of Staley after the game talking, you know, and see, it's funny because, Gino did some whining earlier in the year, and it seems like over the and you know what, I'll come right out and say it. You cannot look away at, you know, the race factor of last night's game. You know, majority black.
Go
ahead.
I am sick and tired of this. I'm sick of it, okay? And this is why I'm sick of it, right? They did the same thing to Serena Williams. They did the same thing to Lewis Hamilton.
Oh,
come on, stop it, will you?
Gary, that's never going to end. That's never going to end. They're always, you know, it may not, you know, they may try to play it off to try it to be subtly, but look, they're always, it's always going to be a factor. They're always going to play it up. I mean, look, again, Clark's a great, great player. I don't take anything away from it, but they, you know, they did it. You know, there was a little more over the top with her when she would do her stuff. Because see, here's the thing: Boston was the player of the year and defensive player of the year last year when they won the thing, and it just on the surface, it doesn't seem like they get that same sort of love. It's more like I said, they get more ridiculed, like all they're bullies and all this other stuff. Meanwhile, the Iowa team. And it's just, you know, it's just clear as the nose in your face. It's a majority white team. Yes, they have black players, as does South Carolina have white players. But you know, when the media plays the race card, it's okay. But if an athlete or a coach or whatever brings it up, then all of a sudden there's a problem. Now look, did Carolina get a few more calls last night just on GP? Yeah, on the surface, it sure looked like it. But even with that being said, they probably have dealt with that. They've dealt with that over the years, and as Coach Staley said, this was just the one night where it came back. You know, it came back to haunt them. It's one of those things where it was, you know, if two or three possessions change, it's probably. They probably go into overtime, but it just seemed like every time Carolina would get close to either taking the lead or cutting the lead down, it was a turnover or missed shots. They missed a lot of open shots last night. You cannot that's something also you cannot deny. They had plenty of look. Matter of fact, those last possessions in the last 2 minutes, they had plenty. They had plenty of looks to get to cut that game to a 1-point game. So there was a bunch of factors, but again, give Iowa their credit because Iowa State, you know, they didn't necessarily have to play a perfect game, but for the most part, they played. Yeah, you know, they you know, they sort of, if anything, they came right at them, and usually. Teams don't come at South Carolina like that. Maybe other teams in the SEC, like LSU or Baylor, but they don't have that one shooter, that one lights out shooter like Iowa has. And with the exception of LSU with Reese, they don't really have that other big post player in the middle.
That's a question
to the coach. Now, in watching them play, they very rarely, you know, they play basic defense. They swarm, but they don't usually do. They put a shadow on. I mean, they played their basic defense last night, and it cost them because she was hitting for. And again, to her credit, because they didn't double team her, she was able to drive because she didn't. Let's put it this way: with all the big threes that she did hit, she didn't settle for threes. A lot of her points were going to the basket. That's the thing with Clark that you have to give her credit for. You know, if you didn't know any better, you would think, oh, she's just a 3-point shooter. But no. She drives to the hoop. She gets, what is it? The most important stat of the night to me was she either scored or assisted on their last 25 points of the game.
Yeah.
That's an all-around player.
It reminded me of Larry Bird.
Yeah, to a certain extent. Although I think she was, I think, in her to her credit, she a little bit more dangerous, and also she didn't just settle for jumpers. Now Bird would drive on and off, but her game, you know, yes, we know, you know, because she's a great 3-point shooter, we tend to sort of think of just the shooting. But she drove to the hoop. I'm going to probably guess maybe 15 of those points were driving to the hoop, and then also, you know, on the foul line as well, because she basically lived on the free throw line those last 2 minutes. But you know, like I said, I'm surprised that they didn't at least, you know, try to take away from her, because I guess she's try to take her on her weak side, you know, force her to her weak side. But again, to her credit, she was doing that James Harden thing without the balance.
yeah, for real. WEEI, your Boston affiliate, is at it again. Now, in the morning, the Greg Hill Show, have you heard the Greg Hill Show in the morning?
I don't listen to EEI.
Okay.
I listen to WEEI. I try to stay away from, I try to stay away from talk radio because it's just too.
Okay, well.
But I can sort of imagine what they were talking about. Go ahead.
Okay. The Boston City Council is trying to put a ban or a limit on the little tiny bottle of alcohol.
Uh-huh.
The nickname of these alcohol bottles are called NIPS. Now, we all know that NIPS is a bad name of people of Japanese heritage.
Yep, that's right. And it was very prominent back in, you know, during World War II time, you know, because they would, you know, because they would call them the Sons of Nippon, but then, of course, they would shorten it to NIPS. But
well,
it's Boston. You know what? It's Boston, guys. You know,
what is that again?
It's Boston, guys. You know, no matter.
Well,
Chris
Curtis better be cute. Chris Curtis said, I'll probably hook up with Mina Kimes. Mina Kimes.
Yeah, I saw that. Yeah.
Is Korean American.
Exactly. He knew exactly what he was doing when he said that. He knew exactly what he was. He knew exactly the kind of connotation he was trying to make with that. And then he basically tried to be Daryl Green and Deion Sanders all in the one in his apology in backtracking. But no, he knew exactly what he was doing when he was saying that. You know, because
my thing is this: there's this guy suspended for a week. Okay, now the only way to end this nonsense is to be fired.
And another station will pick him up. I mean, Chris Carlin went to frickin' prison and got his job back. The guy on the Fan in New York, he went to jail for prison. He went to prison, still got his job back. He's back on the air right now. If a guy, I mean. I don't mean to, you know, but he's like, they fire you. Even if he gotten fired, he'd resurface someplace again. It's no different than these priests in the Catholic Church where they fire them and then they wind up getting another job at another church. It's no different. Unless, you know, because they would always play the whole he shouldn't lose his job because of, you know, then all of a sudden you can't lose your job over freedom of speech. Okay, that's fine.
As long as you placate this stuff,
Look, they're not getting. You got to remember, management's not upset with what he said. Management's upset that they had to address it. Plain and simple. I'm sure in the meeting that they had, they didn't. You know, they weren't upset with him with what he said. They probably agreed with what he said 100%. But the fact that we have to do this to whatever, you know, that's the thing. Because they have to appropriate it, that's the thing that they're more upset with. Management is not upset at what he says at all. They're more upset that they have to address it. Trust.
I think I'll blow up in half my face because it's more and more people are saying it is collusion. You tell me it's one of the best quarterbacks in the league and nobody wants to offer up a contract. Get out of here.
Yeah. Well, look. You know, they keep. It's funny how they keep bringing up the whole Deshaun Watson. They said, you know, the whole Deshaun Watson contract. And then you had Richard Sherman say, well, because Patrick Mahomes put deferred money, that hurt him too. I mean, look, you can't have it. The man wants to get paid for what he's done. It's incredible. Exactly. I mean, this is, you know, whether you like his style of play or not, let's put it this way. What other former MVP literally has to sing for his supper? I mean, it's ridiculous. He's literally, you know, Baltimore don't want to pay him, but if somebody pays him a certain amount, they're willing to. Exactly. And it's like, and like I said, I said this on another show. He's played his last game with the Ravens. The trade demand, you know, the trade demand just clinches it. I mean, he knows exactly where he stands with that organization now. There's almost no way that he could literally go back there to play now.
Because they've had ample
opportunities to get this right, and they still are just kicking the can down the road. They basically said that. We don't love you like we think you love. We don't love you, for lack of a better word. We don't love you enough to pay you. And I just, you know, and if they think, and with all due respect to Mr. Huntley, if he's Plan B, then they're just going to be just another team. They're not going to be anything special. They're just going to be just another team, and not a contending team either.
And that, you know. Herman was saying you play to win the game. So why is Baltimore doing this?
Look, there are a bunch of teams there are certain teams in pro sports that do go out and try and win and try to do what's new, whatever. And then there's other teams that don't. They do just enough so that they don't get ridiculed. I mean, it's funny. I'm watching the Mets Marlins game now. And I look at the two Florida teams. I look at the Marlins, and I look at the Rays. Now the Rays will develop players and what have you, and they'll do it. You know, they live and die by the analytics and whatever. But the Rays, for the most part, they're like Oakland Light. They literally try to make a dollar out of 15 cents. Now the Marlins will not only take the 15 cents, but they'll ask you if they can borrow 50 cents while they're taking the 15 cents from you. And they don't. If the Marlins develop their players half as much as the Rays, the Marlins might have. You know, I'm not saying they would have won another World Series or whatever, but it would. You know, as quiet as it's kept, one of the main reasons why Derek Jeter got the hell out of Dodge was he saw these guys aren't committed to win.
What do you think about opening day and the new baseball rules?
Well, it's already made an impact. It's funny. I did something last night that I hadn't done in years. I actually kept score for a game that I was watching on TV.
Ooh.
I'm gonna tell you that. Yeah, there was a 6:30 start in Florida. The game was over. The game was over by 8:45. Now that's warp speed. That's warp speed compared to what it's been. And look, there's going to be little kinks in regards to that. You know, you saw that with opening day. But the biggest impact, I think, we've already seen. Opening day, there were 21. Well, but see, here's the thing: there were 21 stolen bases combined in the opening day games. That tied a record for most on opening day. You got to go back to the freaking dark ages to when there were that many stolen bases early on. Look, if it can make the game move faster, fine. I'm all for it. I'm all for it. And I think, you know, the play, look, you saw a lot of whining and hand-wringing in spring training, and you're going to get that. But once the lights go on, they haven't, you know, I don't know how many games you've been able to watch since then, but the games are definitely moving quicker. I'm not saying they're moving at, you know, I'm not saying they're moving like NBA speed, mind you, or hockey speed, but for baseball, they are the games of progress. You know, it's not so much the time of the game, it's the pace. It's the pace of the game. There's so many, you know, guys aren't stepping out of the box, scratching themselves in public.
Jim Tomei was a walking billboard, man.
Yeah, well, look,
remember Jim Tomei? You step out and get back in the box.
Yeah, look, and see, here's the thing. Those rules have been there from day one. See, baseball messes themselves up by, if you just enforce the damn rules, you won't have this problem. But baseball wants it both ways, where they want to be lax, but when they get sort of forced into doing it, and like I said, early on, you could definitely see the difference. It's subtle, but you can definitely see the difference. Look, it's never going to move like the NBA or hockey. That's never going to happen. But if they can make it orderly, because you could, like I always tell folks, if you watch a game, if you watch one of those old games back in the day on YouTube, and then turn on like a game from last year. I mean, that one game from back in the day can be played in the same time that during the same time and less time than the game from the last few years because of all the whatever. And, yeah, commercials and TV are factors, but, see, there's ways to do that. And it's just that baseball had to be sort of led kicking and scratching into doing something. And like I said, early on, I think it's been for the good. It's still an early sample size with baseball. You got to, my thing has always been with trends, you got to play a month. Now, if you want it now, the stolen base thing was something that was palpable from day one. So if you want to use opening day as a gauge, then, okay, you can see where this is going. Will it stay? I hope so, because, see, again, it comes down to the umpires enforcing the rules, which is what the problem was before the pitch clocks and the pizza box bases as well. The, you know, enforce the damn rules.
I was surprised to see all 30 teams playing the same
thing. Well, they made it a point. Well, they tried to do that a couple of years ago, but I guess it was rained out. I think it was rain outs and snow outs and what have you. They've had it where all the teams have been scheduled to play on opening day, but this was the first year where they finally pulled it off. And what they, and you know, they mixed in some interleague games. You know, I get it. I mean, I like interleague ball, whatever, but I would like to, you know, we get so far away from quote-unquote traditional, so to speak. I wouldn't mind if opening day is, you know, National League playing National League, American League playing American League, and then maybe after that first week of the season, then you get into the interleague games. Because
when St. Louis Cardinals played the ball in the Red Sox in the World Series,
mm-hmm.
and I liked it because nobody knew about the wall
back then you didn't have interleague play. But see, now we've had, I mean, interleague play has almost been around for like almost 15, 20 years now. So everybody's familiar. I mean, there are still some little, like, I don't think guys like Ohtani have played at every park as of yet, but
no.
it's you know, the familiarity.
Well, I think the Giants going to Yankee Stadium.
'62 when they played them in the series.
Yeah.
But
yeah,
it's now the novelty, like, you know, and you know, there were interesting matchups interleague wise, like you said, you had the Giants, Yankees. Toronto, St. Louis, which wound up being a friggin' slugfest. Then you had Texas playing the Phillies as well. Like I said, this is the only time where I would lean toward tradition in regards to opening day. Don't open, you know, my only pet peeves are have opening day in the States. Please don't open the season in Puerto Rico or China or what have you. It's not me being xenophobic. I'm thinking, again, it's funny how you want to be traditional in 1 minute, but then want to make a couple of bucks the next moment. I get it. You want to make a couple of bucks. But, you know, you got 162 games to do that. Leave opening day traditional, you know? Leave opening day traditional.
What's the story?
With who?
Verlander.
Some back thing. I guess it's one of those things where they're going to keep. I'm not going to say they overreacted, but unfortunately, the Mets are used to this with some of their starters. So they're going to, you know, they probably figured, you know, let's play it safe. Play it safe than sorry. And I have no problem with it. You know, I'd rather him be injured now than be injured later. Because remember, as great a pitcher as he is, he's up there in age. And you know,
a blind squirrel finds a nut every now and then, and they ain't sneak up on nobody this year. So,
they're not gonna have to sneak up, Reds. Everybody knows they're a good team.
Oh, yeah, but management, and believe. Hey, just like the Hindenburg, they'll find a way to fall. Trust and believe.
Put it this way. I've been there
since the 70s. Mike Cuellar, David Johnson, and that regime is long gone with the late Earl Earl Weaver. So
put it this way, Reg, you have the number one farm system in all of baseball. You've already got good players on that roster. There are other players down there and waiting. Like I said, I'll reiterate it. And if I sound like a fool later, so be it. I think they'll win the East this year. I really do.
And I guarantee really you. It ain't about the players, Tick. It's about management.
Well,
Buck Showalter from the Yankees. That's when Baltimore got an identity and they didn't fear nobody. The guy they got now has got no Buck Showalter. I mean, come on.
But he does. But put it this way. The guys, the one thing you cannot deny, they play for him, guy. They play for him, Reg. They really do.
They do.
Well, they play for him.
Everybody's going to be not looking at the lonely, bad news Oreo Bears. They look at them like, okay, now we're going to take you guys serious. We ain't messing around with you guys no more. You'll see, all I'm saying to you, halfway for you'll see what their record is, especially close games. You'll see
okay.
what it is.
Okay. No, fair enough. Fair enough. Like I said, I put it this way, what I see with them. And to me, as much as people are ready to hand over that division to the Yankees, I'm gonna do my quick draw with McGraw and say, hold on a little bit, Babalu. I'm not ready to hand it over to the Yankees quite yet.
Well, I mean, as much as we make fun of the Yankees, and I know you being a Mets fan, you enjoy their misery. They still got the pedigree, and they still got the good signings that they use. Pretty much the team is still intact from last year.
The Yankees got a busy problem. I don't think they're busy going
to hold up. Well, those sticks are moving, and you're getting the runs. That can hold up to the pitch and finally come around. As long as you can keep getting them runs across, that's all that matters.
Yeah, but you can't win. You can't win 8-7, 9-6 every night, though, especially in the playoffs.
Oh, I agree.
You can get away with that. You can get away with that in the regular season, but in the postseason, when there's more,
that's when the Yankees pull like the Hindenburg in the postseason. You know, regular season is the only time they shine. Postseason is when they like a cheap suit, they fall apart.
Especially as long as the
Houston Astros are around, they like kryptonite to the Yankees. Every time they see them, man, they just fall apart.
Like Bruce Banner's pants and shirt for the Hulk. That's what winds up happening with the Yankees and the Astros.
Like Race Bannon and Johnny Quest. The women always come, but they always leave at the end.
They move the Astros from the National League to the American League. What was the purpose of that?
Balance. Balance is what they said. And it made sense because it gave them a natural rival with the Rangers.
Yeah.
They met Milwaukee when the Americans are wrestling.
Well, if they were going to change, you know, if they were going to make the change, they had to, you know, basically. I mean, this is nothing new. We've seen maybe not in baseball. I mean, remember, you wouldn't have the, you know, if Art Modell hadn't agreed to go to the AFC. The NFL would look completely different, and his whole thing was, I'll go, but you're gonna bring I'm gonna take Pittsburgh with me.
But I know we're talking baseball right now, T. But I gotta get your thoughts real quick. I know time is short with Lamar Jackson. To me, he's gonna set the bar for the quarterbacks getting paid, and I admire him for sticking to his guns. What do you think, T?
To me, ain't no guarantee he's gonna send the
franchise. He ain't got to sign it. I think he'll sit out just on principle. I think he will.
I will put it this way. I'll say, like I said earlier in the week, you know, I think he's played his last game for the Ravens. I would love to know what their I would love to know what their plan B is, because if that's the case, you know, I hope you enjoy. I hope you enjoy 7 and 10 for the next few years. You know, at
you
the very least.
Much? I don't think they're gonna do 7 and 10.
No, they'll do. You know, they'll do. You know, I actually like Huntley, but Huntley is no Jackson. Bottom line,
thank you.
Huntley is no Jackson.
He's a little longer too.
Yeah. But see, here's the thing. They have basically said you ain't good enough. We love you, but we don't love you enough to pay you. Now,
I
was telling Gary earlier, they keep trying to play both sides, because you've got a faction of folks that say, well, because of the Deshaun Watson contract, you know, he's not going to get top money. But then you've got guys like Richard Sherman saying, because Mahomes took a pay cut and didn't get all of his money, that turned him to – you can't have it both ways. Look, to be honest, this is all about Baltimore not paying him. I mean, this is not rocket science. This is all about Baltimore not wanting to pay him. Oh, absolutely,
yeah.
It's collusion. But see, end of the day, it's Baltimore not wanting to pay him. At the end of the day, whether it's a Watson factor.
Can he go to court? Can he go to court? Is there any sort of collusion? Can he get win his case?
Put it this way,
he won't be playing football no more.
He will basically become Kurt Flood 2.0
if he does that.
I mean, put it this way.
And hats off to the NBA for signing their contract. They
were good. They were going to sign it. That wasn't, you know, look.
Yeah.
Adams, you know,
but the young
Adam
lady's
Silver,
doing a good job in charge of the players' union. She's doing a pretty good job.
Of course, unlike the invisible man that runs the NFL Players Association.
Where's Waldo?
please wait. I think even Waldo would say, please don't put me and him in the same thing. Because at least we know where Waldo is most of the time. This guy, you know, like I said, I don't.
Well, the NBA, I like the NBA because it's smart. It kind of seems as
Look. Silver is smart enough to know that you're not going to leave money on the table there. And see,
thank you.
Now, look, NFL, the NBA owners are just as much idiots and cutthroats as Major League Baseball, the NFL, and NHL. But they're willing to be like, look, these guys are the game. You know, other than Mark Cuban, most of the owners in the league keep a very, very low profile for the most part.
Cuban or Shark Tank don't keep a high profile? No.
But seriously, though.
He's never seen a referee he didn't like.
Well, put it this way. I think once they gave him his one title, all of a sudden he never had a problem with referees after that. Now did he? I'll just leave it at that.
A couple of days ago.
He's gonna whine about something. But he's not gonna go off like he did, you know, back in the day.
Yeah.
I mean, you figure Cuban before that title, and you think of that Cuban after it, that's not even the same guy. It's not even the same guy. Not even close.
I agree.
Not even close.
I agree.
Hey,
I can just talk real quick about South Carolina ladies last night. Did Don get out coach, or they just didn't play up to their potential?
I'm surprised they didn't double her. I know that's not their style, but, she was Quizway. I'm really surprised that they did not just say, let's take care of her and let these other four folks beat us. But as I was saying to Gary earlier, she was all over the place. I mean,
she was Larry Bird,
Well, she was more than Larry Bird to me because she was drunk to the hoop, She created her own shots. I was telling Gary, yeah. she was basically doing James Harden without the ballerina kick at the end of her. Of her
no, no question.
And she would drive to the hoop. Put it this way. The biggest stat to me that you come away with, she either scored or assisted on their last 25 points of the game. That's dominance, man. That's dominance.
Yeah.
Now, yes, Boston being in foul trouble, they had been, you know, they had had instances, you know, they had a bunch of games this year where they were down 10. You know, UConn had them up by 14 at one point, and they lost. You know, Ole Miss had them beat. They came back and won. Last night it came down to a couple of possessions. And look, they had a bunch of chances in those last 2-3 minutes. They were missing shots.
Inside game at all. They were getting worn out.
See, the one thing Iowa did that I think no other team that's played, they went after them. Like the kids say, they weren't scared. They went right after them.
They punched them out like Maryland did. Maryland put them on their heels, but Maryland just didn't have the bench.
And see, Maryland didn't have that big coach player too. Because even though she didn't have one of her best games last night, she was a factor. She was definitely a factor in defensively. But there were some questionable calls along the way there. No doubt about that. But I think big picture wise, the Gamecocks had enough. They had more than enough. I mean, you take that last minute, they had more than enough chances to tie that game. Put it this way. Their basic defense, they don't do double teams. Now did it come back to bite them in the ass last night? Yeah, probably. But when you take your team out of their rhythm, especially defensively, it can hurt them. I would think that after that first half, you would say, okay, we need to get next. I mean, I was even telling Gary, on a couple of those instances where she drives to the hoop, you know, take a foul. Just to give her a little butt action.
Big of them hips was. They could have smacked her with some butt. Stretched out a little bit.
Look, like the old NBA, like how back in the day when the playoffs come, no layups.
If you do a layup,
it's going to cost you a pound of flesh, literally and figuratively. I'm not saying be dirty, but just, make it so that she's going to, she'll drive still, but she's going to think about it. Look, like last night, there were a couple of instances last night when she drove to the hoop and it opened up like the Red Sea.
She did the one hand layup.
It was a bunch of. My imagine
would be the new head coach of the Cowboys. What do you mean by that, man?
Well, Penn State grad VCU coach down in Richmond, the new coach of Penn State. They popped in last week.
Oh, really?
This is because
they have the coaches convention all around at the same time of the Final Four as well. So you're gonna get all sorts of whatever. I will say this: everybody who's basically ready to hand the men's title over to UConn hasn't been watching the tournament. Don't you realize that the underdogs have been winning this tournament? Don't you know there's a reason why there's a 6 seed and an 8 seed and whatever they're in there? I mean, UConn,
ain't nobody intimidated with a 4th-ranked UConn. UConn ain't no fear in nobody.
Look, should UConn be favored? Yeah, probably. But is it a walk in the park? No.
Hell no.
God no.
And here's
the funny thing, you know, UConn and Miami have a history going back to their old Big East days.
Thank you.
So
it ain't like they ain't gonna mix it up, man. Only the strong survive in that game. And I love Coach Navarrega. Navarrega, man, for a man of his age and the way those players play for him, that tell you right there, they love that old man. They're going to go through the wall for him.
Remember, we saw what he did at George Mason. In many ways, it's George Mason with a little bit more talent, to be quite honest.
Yep.
Very good. They're very good team.